Beers and Tears would like to acknowledge the traditional owners and custodians of the land from which we conduct this podcast, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. We recognise their continued connection to the land and waterways and sky of this beautiful place, and we pay our respects to elders past and present, and extend that respect to all First Nations people present today, and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded. This episode is proudly sponsored by the beautiful studio space at Small Time Group, supporting emerging artists to refine their products, develop a plan, and connect with peers and the industry. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Beers and Tears. Today, I'm joined with Ben and Michael from Sapia. How are you this morning?
Good.
Wonderful. Feeling good.
Have you been up for a while?
I was awoken at 6:30 by my alarm.
Yeah. I'm the opposite. I was up late last night.
So you got an early riser and a late riser.
Just at the moment.
Today, yeah.
I seem to have shifted my sleeping pattern somehow. Usually I used to stay up at till 2 or 3 in the morning. So it's a welcome change. Right?
Yeah. Do you prefer the early wake up?
At the moment it's nice. You get a good amount of daytime.
Yeah.
You get a lot of night.
Yeah.
No, I love an early wake up. It's like I never do it, but when I do it and it gets to 10, 11 o'clock and I'm like, I feel like I've lived a whole day. And it's 11 o'clock.
I'm the same. It's a rare occurrence, but when it happens, I do like it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It's the start. Yeah, getting up.
That can feel
ripping
up
the band-aid. That's the bit that gets me.
Well, straight off the bat, you guys have recently released your first kind of batch of music since 2019 with your track Falling Down. Now, when I first heard this track, I literally had to go back and refocus on listening to it because it has this build up and then you pull it right back and I fully wigged out and I was like, wait, is this am I listening to this properly? Can you tell me a bit more about the creative process behind creating this track?
We've actually had a few people say that. I think I got interviewed before it came out and one of the interviewers was like, I was having a freak out. I thought my brain reset. And I was like... Wow, I think that's a compliment. I'm going to take it as a compliment.
Yeah. I don't know, music that grabs you, especially us, I think, it needs to surprise you. There's going to be music that you like and you know what's coming and, you know, it's nice. But the music that sticks out or grabs you is often the music that surprises you. So it's often an artist that combines two elements that, usually don't work or jumps from one thing into the other kind of weirdly and seamlessly. So we've always tried to do that. And then this song was kind of fun because it was a subtle version of that. So you really don't see it coming in and not much changes, but yet you still feel like you had the carpet ripped out from under you.
Yeah. And like you said, you had to go back and listen to it again. So
yeah,
that's
kind of worked, I suppose.
I guess it does its job.
Sure. And why did you guys kind of choose this track to be the first release back for 3 or 4 years?
I don't know. It just felt good. There was a whole bunch we were working on and for me, it just felt like the song, it felt like it had everything what we're going forward with. You know, it felt familiar, it felt like us, but it felt like it was pushing into the direction where we're heading because we were writing music for so long and hadn't put anything out and I just wasn't getting sick of it. I was just still liking it more and more. It's just okay.
Yeah, sweet. When you play a Sapia track, you can definitely tell that it's yours, And I was kind of just wondering how you go about keeping that traditional Safia sound, but still kind of trying to sound fresh and create new stuff.
I think naturally the sounds are going to come through you creatively. Like, I don't think we think too much about trying to keep a certain sound. I think it just sort of happens, doesn't it? Like, we're not trying to be like, this is what Safia, or however you say the word, Safia should sound like. I think the sound is just an expression of who we are. So I think that's gonna come out in music, regardless of what we try.
I think there's something in like either the way that we produce or in this setup that it doesn't really matter, which is kind of good. It kind of doesn't matter like what we do. It's gonna inherently sort of sound like us, even if we like diverge massively in genre or stylistic choices or like how we build something. I don't know, there's something in the way that we write together and the choices we make when we write that sort of inherently makes it feel like a Safia, I think, even when we think this doesn't sound like us at all and someone's like, yeah, that sounds it's like a classic Safia. Yeah, I'm like, what? I thought that sounded completely different.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And kind of jumping back to your second album or your last album, Stories Start or End, that dropped in 2019, and it kind of feels like a bit of a sequence that fell into place over time. I was kind of wondering about the creative process of this album and, how long it was in the works for.
Well,
the creative process.
Jeez.
It's been a long creative process. I think we just sort of we never really stopped writing music, Ben and I. And I guess it's only until we kind of see something sort of forming in like a direction. Ben often had like a pretty clear, more so than me anyway, but
I had like some ideas of where it could go, but then they constantly morph.
Yeah.
And like I just try and let like you can have some like goalposts, so like I think this is where this is going, but like just trying to let the idea like form itself, and you like usually doing that off like gut feeling or being like, okay, I feel like this goes here and that goes there, and then something comes in, and I suppose it's just with everything that's happened, this has been a really long process for that to come together.
Yeah,
sweet. And you have another track coming soon called Today. when is this coming? And, what sort of, I guess, world does this track live in?
Well, when's it coming? It's where are we at the moment? What's like?
We are.
When are we?
When are we? Why? March 2nd. So the track will be premiered next, I think it's Wednesday. Wednesday night?
8th of March. So I don't know when this is. So today will be out yesterday.
Yeah.
Tomorrow.
Amazing. Yeah. What kind of world does this track live in? Where, how did it come to be?
And this one's a pretty like you just said like the production pretty much formed.
It was relatively fleshed out.
Yeah.
I think we just sat, we didn't really spend much time on molding it too much. The idea was pretty clear, I think. And we didn't spend much time molding it. We sort of just knew where it was going. And probably only took a few sessions. The hard part was at the end, letting it go and, being happy with the final product, with a tiny little 1% of things. So it was funny. It was like, took 5 minutes to write and then 5 days to finish.
Like a million masters.
Yeah. It went through all these mixes and masters and back and forth. I don't know if that was a communication breakdown or something.
Yeah. We got it there.
Yeah, we got it there. We're stoked now. God, it was a good feeling to get it there.
Do you guys still look at some of your tracks and kind of like pick it apart and think like, what, I should have added this and couldn't have added that? Or do you just try not to do that at all?
Once it's done, it's like, move on. I want to write the next thing.
I enjoy listening back and hearing things that aren't necessarily perfect. I'm like, oh, that's funny. Yeah. If we did that there, I probably wouldn't do that now, or that using that there. I guess it's like, I always like, I have no children, but I was like, they're our children.
Yeah.
And you got to let them go once they're done. You let them live their life. And if you sit there nitpicking them, they can't grow.
Yeah. That's true. And I'm actually very keen for that to be in the world, because it's like, it's at the point where I've heard it so many times now. And I need it to exist. Like, to the point where I'm like, it's just sounds.
Yeah.
like, to be in the hit world so I can hear the song again.
Because Ben mixes a lot of the stuff. Well, the preliminary mix, I don't know. And he hears it probably a lot more than I do. So I feel like we need to take this listening burden off. The world needs to hear it now.
Are you guys quite visual people when it comes to like the creation of your music at all?
I think so.
I'm super visual. Yeah.
You should hear some of the descriptions Ben has for the songs. He'll be like, this is what I'm going. I'm like, okay. I can work with that.
You're like, you're falling down a vacuum. Like,
super visual. But I guess that's where the creativity comes from.
Yeah, for sure. What are your visuals for today, the song?
This is Ben's world here.
I'm actually, I was always kind of like a bit of a space voyage kind of thing. Again, I actually showed my sister, who seems to be also quite visual, and she did a great, which I've then gone on to borrow. But she was like, oh, it just reminds me of like, this would be like a dance song for some like ancient civilization, but that had like pretty good technology.
Yeah, I kind of see that.
It's like both ancient and new. Yeah. She's like, you've got that like tribal, like, yeah, but it's like tribal future.
I love that.
So I was like, okay, I like that. I'm borrowing that.
Yeah. With the new music that you have coming out, how, I guess, does this new stuff differ from the last album?
It's hard for us to say. Well, it's like we're probably almost the least qualified to answer that.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just because we're so, in terms of perspective of stepping out of what it actually is, because we're so... basically finishing at the moment.
You'd almost need to ask us that in maybe a year or something when we have time to
process it
at different years. Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think it's I don't know, in terms of like the world and our production and like the songwriting, I think it's like quite sophisticated. And like building on where we've been, but in kind of cool, subtler ways, I think. Mm. And maybe the ways you can kind of revisit more and more. But that's my hope. Whether it is that, I don't know.
Yeah.
What are your like fears and excitements when it comes to putting new music out?
I guess you always have that fear of not having achieved what you expect or not reaching your expectations. But I think that's sort of like overshadowed by just having other people listen to it. And
There's a sense of like fulfillment when you create anything, not even music, and you finish it and you put it out there, even if it's like, you know, even if it's something quick or something you've been working on for a while, there's like, yeah, there is that sense of like achievement and fulfillment.
True. Where you've
finished something and like, this is it. You know, it might not be perfect. And so that's always like exciting to kind of, it's almost like let that thing leave your consciousness and move on to something else.
Cool. And you kind of touched on this a little bit before, but when you're, yeah, creating like a bigger piece of work, how do you kind of sit down with the tracks that you've created and look at it and the direction that it's going to go in?
It's kind of the process we're in right now.
Mm.
It's like, I don't know, for me it's just trying to follow a gut feeling and a feeling more than thinking about it conceptually. And so, like, so it's not too thought out and it's not too, like, you can't, it's not someone trying to make it one thing, because it, more often than not, when you're writing from a, you know, when you're writing authentically, the subconscious is, like, doing its own thing. And, like,
of course.
And then this record, even the songs, I'm looking back at it now and I'm, like, even lyrically, where I am now versus where that song was, I'm just like, Jesus, it's like me kind of yelling at myself, being like, you need to do this. but so just trying to still do follow like that gut feeling of what feels right and where the songs should go and like what works together. And so we're sort of in the back end of that, but they're sort of piecing together, and then you can look at it when they're there and they're like, oh, I can see a kind of arc here or a narrative, and like, to kind of let it write itself in a weird way. Yeah.
Cool. And what are you guys listening to at the moment? What are your, like, what are your kind of new music recommendations or old music recommendations?
Yeah, sure. I've been listening, well, actually, listen to that EP a bit. Ben sent me, you're probably going to say this.
That's the top of my mind.
Well, I'll let Ben talk about that, but I've been listening to Led Zeppelin's House of Holly. I often do this. I go back and kind of listen to these albums like every, maybe seems like every 2 years, I do those pop up, and it's funny. It's released quite a while ago, but every time I listen, I find something else to appreciate, and I guess that's just a testament to how good those bands and artists were. That's what I've been listening to, and there's something else, but I think Ben, you showed me.
In terms of new stuff, I'm obsessed with a band called Weevil.
Cool.
And they're like they're a Dutch. I think they're Dutch.
Yeah, they are, I think.
Yeah, I think they're a duo, but they kind of write like just almost like stream of consciousness kind of indie electronica, but it's sort of live. They're like a psychedelic electro band, and there's just stuff is every time they put something out, it's like it's always super interesting.
Is there an EP or
I've been putting a bunch of EPs out at the moment. I first found them in like 19, their like album, and they did this incredible film clip to one of their songs that is just blew my mind.
Yeah, fantastic.
I've been super into Weevil.
Sick. I'm going to check them out. You've definitely sold that. In terms of your live shows, you have a premiere at Enlighten Festival in a week or so. And then you go to Hobart for Day on the Lawn Festival in a month. How are you planning on bringing these new tracks to life?
Yeah,
that's a good question.
Good question.
One thing about these shows is, like, as we're finishing the record, these shows sort of give us an opportunity to road test certain things where they're at. So we were fortunate enough to play some small shows at the end of last year and road test a bunch of these tracks live, and they seem to go down well, which was a nice reassurance. And so, yeah, we're kind of still playing around with it. And, like, so then when it's time to build the album show, we'll have lots of data to work with.
Piled data.
I don't know, but they've been fun to play. They feel really natural, which is nice.
Yeah, they do.
Cool. My final question is, what has been like a gig highlight. It's like a favorite gig that you guys have played, and also a gig horror story where it's all gone a bit haywire.
We had some interesting ones early on in the career.
Yeah, that's for sure. Is. I remember there's quite a few. I can think of more horror stories than highlights, which is probably not good. Probably says something about me. What's a good horror story? I know there's like a lot of you falling over or falling down stage or something like that. I
forgot about that.
Is that
I played in Wollongong and I fell off the stage.
I don't know. Like, someone pulled him off.
I sort of like, I came down, that's right, and then I was climbing back onto the stage and someone like pulled me off the stage.
And Harry and I just up the back. Just like, oh, well. But I remember, do you remember the one when we played overseas?
Oh,
we played a lot of those. We played a lot of, that's a good reason. We did this tour through the US.
The Midwest
of the United States. And we played in these sort of like...
It's like a showcase tour.
Yeah, it was... I don't want to say too much about it, just in case who knows who's listening, but it was... It gave us good character, but there was this one show we played.
Character building.
We build our characters. And it was in a town called Davenport, which was in Iowa.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you know much. Have you been to the States?
No.
Okay, so this area is like...
It's corn country.
Yeah.
It's where all the cornfields are.
Okay, like, great.
Yeah. So we rock up and we were told that we were playing at this sort of like festival and all these uni kids would be here. It was,
they drive their utes in. Like, it'd be like a kind of...
It sounded awesome. Anyway, we rocked up this establishment, and it was like an old, what looked like an old church or something like that. Was it like a church or a?
It looked like an old, like not even an RSL, but like where the soldiers would go or something.
It was it was pretty scary actually. So I was like, oh god, what are we doing? And this is after maybe 2 months of touring, and it's been a tiring tour. Like, we learn a lot about each other ourselves. And then we get on stage to play, and there are six people in the crowd. And they're all men with beards down about here and possibly holstered weapons. Thank God they stayed like that.
I was just like, they're just not going to – well, maybe they did.
Maybe they were just mad fans. I never thought of that.
But I was just like, they're not going to get what we're doing.
No, quite in between songs. I was like, God, Ben, just let's go to the next song. Next song, let's get this done.
I think we've never rushed through a set quicker. Definitely wasn't feeling the energy in the room. It was void of energy. I was feeling a very, like, there was a tenseness in the room.
Oh, it was tense. It was like
an animosity.
Yeah, it was. So that was a pretty memorable show of ours. And not saying that having six people in a crowd is a bad thing, because we played in Germany maybe a few months before and we had about six people there. In a place called Nuremberg, and there were about six or eight people, and they were the best one of the best crowds we've ever played to, and they cheered for an encore. We had to come out. They wouldn't leave until we played an encore.
An encore to like eight people. It was awesome.
We were like, what do you want to hear? You.
Yeah.
Heinrich.
It was just the vibe. I did feel like I was going to get shot.
The room was big, the vibe was small.
Yeah.
We're in Germany.
The other way around.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today, guys. It's been lovely having you on.
Yeah, you too. Thank you.
Thanks for that.
No worries.